أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الهداة المهديين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من خير أعوانه وأنصاره، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our Sheikh of Bahmanpur busy and he couldn't continue his lesson and lecture here, so he asked me to be with you for some session, and I think he will come and he will continue with you. So I think for some weeks, four or less or more than 4 weeks, maybe you will tolerate me. I would like to benefit from your knowledge, and I'm sure what I'm going to benefit and learn from you is more than what I'm going to talk about is for you. I decided to talk about Munajat al-Sha'baniyah. Why I choose this Munajat, I will explain about it later. But we have hadith from A'imma alayhimu salam, which narrated in our collection of hadith concerning this munajat, that all imams were reciting this munajat. The only munajat which all imams were reciting it is Munajat al-Sha'baniyah. Because we have hadith Kanu yad'una biha. Kanu yad'una biha means that always all a'imma alayhimu salam were reciting and they were doing munajat by this munajat. So I think only this hadith enough for us to know importance of this munajat. This munajat has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he taught his son Imam Hassan and also his son Imam Hussein and Fatima salamullah alayhim, and also Imam Hussein taught and order his son Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Imam after Imam after Imam, all of them were reciting this munajat. It's very important munajat. I think I can't understand this munajat. It's far beyond of my understanding and my intellect. I'm not saying this, but majority of ulama like Imam Khomeini and teacher of Imam Khomeini, ustad of Imam Khomeini, Marhum Tabrizi, and other ulama were saying we cannot understand what is in this munajat and nature of this munajat. Inshallah, later we'll explain about it and we will complain and we will say that we cannot understand this munajat. So, but first of all, we must know the this munajat, is it authentic munajat or not? Because some people say this munajat is narrated by some our ulama, is not from Imam Ali alayhi salam. But if we go through this munajat, we will find out nobody less than Imam Ali can say such munajat. Or nobody can explain such munajat to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This munajat has been narrated by Sayyid ibn Tawus in Iqbal in chapter 9. Do you know Sayyid ibn Tawus? One of famous of ulama, and he could meet Mawlana al-Hujjah salamullah alayhi several times. And it has been mentioned, whenever he saw Imam al-Hujjah alayhi salam, he could recognize him by his voice, by his face, and by his body. He narrated this munajat in Kitab al-Iqbal. Do you know, Iqbal is one of Kitab of Dua, like Mafatih al-Jinnah. And also, Allama Majlisi narrated this munajat in Bihar al-Anwar, first volume, page 96. Also, the author of As-Sahifatul Alaviyya narrated this munajat in his book, page 100. As you know, Sheikh Abbas Al-Qummi narrated this munajat in A'mal Al-Sha'ban, month of Sha'ban. He narrated this munajat from Imam Ali alayhi salam. But we have three books concerning the dua. One is Al-Balad Al-Amin from Kaf Amin. It's famous alim in our religion in Shia. He didn't narrate it. As Sheikh Baha'i in Miftah Al-Falah didn't narrate this munajat. And also, Sayyid ibn Tawus, he narrated in Iqbal, but he didn't narrate it in Nuhaj al-Da'awat. This munajat narrated from Ibn Khalaway. Ibn Khalaway is one of our ulama. And if we want to find out him, is he reliable alim or not, we will go to Najashi. Do you know, we have in Rijal, we book, which they have explained about ulama and narrators of hadith. One of the best book in this field is Kitab al-Najashi. Ar-Rijal from Najashi. He said, Ibn Khalaway is Shaykhun min Ashabina. Shaykh means one of our ulama. And Thiqatun. We can trust in him. He's not telling lie. We can trust on him and reliable alim. As Allama Al-Hilli also said, is Shaykhun min Ashabina. We can trust in him. And whatever he said is accepted by our ulama. This is authentic munajat according to what I narrated from our ulama to you. And I think it's not necessary to go more deeper than this. This munajat started by saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I wanted to explain about munajat, the meaning of munajat. What is the meaning of munajat? And what is different between munajat and dua? But because the term munajat and dua mentioned in the munajat itself, I will explain about it later. So now we want to explain about first sentence in this munajat, which is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We will talk about salawat into parts. The first part is that general about in salawat. After that, we will talk about the content of salawat. First of all, we must know that majority of our dua started by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Although Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, or Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, or Imam Ali and other a'imma are from family of Prophet Muhammad and from Ali Muhammad. But when they start their dua, they started by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This means they are doing salawat to themselves. Why? This is first. Secondly, we want to know this salawat is returned to ourselves or not. This salawat, our bless to Prophet, to his family. When we say Allahumma, oh my God, salli. Salli is command. Allahumma salli, bless. Or give your bless, your salawat, your rahmah to Prophet. Does Prophet will get anything from Allah or not? For instance, if I ask or seek Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh, I pray for you, Allah will give you something. Or if I pray for myself, oh, Almighty God, give me good health, give me forgiveness, give me so and so. Actually, Allah will give me something, or will give you something if I pray for you. But when we pray for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam or his family, does Allah will give him something or not? This is also something which we must explain about it. And why we order to start all our dua by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad and end our dua by saying also Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So this is something generally concerning the salawat which we are going to talk about. Please, if we look at majority of our dua, we'll find out that they started by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, and majority of our dua from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam or from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and started by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. As we know, we have a riwayah that la salata illa bitahur and la salata illa bisalata alayya. There is no salat but by at-tahara, by wudu. And there is no salat by as-salawat alayya, ala Prophet. So if you offer your salawat or practice your salat, your namaz, so without saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, your salat is not accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is not from only Shia, but Sunni also are saying the same. They are saying in their salawat, their namaz, their salat, their prayer also Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And we have this point from Shafi'i. شفاكم من عظيم القدر أنهم كم من لم يصل عليكم لا صلاة له. This is enough. or a'imma, or imams, or your level, or your importance, that whoever offers his salah without saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, his salah will not accept by God. This is enough for you. But why we must offer, or Imam alayhi salam, A'imma alayhi salam, were starting their dua by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. I will give you three introduction to be clear this thing and this issue. Whatever we do, we will do it because of certain goal, certain aim. So if we want to pray to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and when we do our dua, we have certain aim for it. What is our aim? Our aim is that Allah gives us what we demanded, what we asked Allah. We want result of our dua. If we say, oh Almighty God, give me good house, give me health, give me good son. Why? Because we want it. This is first. We will not do any dua without any aim. We will not ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala without any goal or target. So we have certain goals for our dua. We want to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give it to us. This is one. Secondly, we don't know Allah will accept our dua or not. We are not sure Allah will give us or not. No doubt about it. Who can say, if I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give me something, will give me? We are not sure. Exactly. We have doubt about our dua. Even if you do your dua in Laylatul Qadr, in Masjid al-Haram, in Haram al-Imam al-Hussein, you have doubt about acceptance of your dua. Isn't it? So, we have doubt about our acceptance of our dua. But, thirdly, we know the salawat to Prophet and his family, one of accepted dua. There is no doubt about it. Whoever does salawat to Prophet, this salawat will be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No doubt about it. So, if you start your dua by something which accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and you end it by something which accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever you bring it in the middle, exactly Allah will accept it, will not refuse it. Because the first and beginning, Allah will accept it. And the end also will accept it by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in the middle, Allah will shame to reject it. Because of that, we have been ordered that you start your dua by salawat and end it by salawat, and what you want to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, put it in the middle. Because of that, we say, Imams alayhim salam also, they are starting their dua by Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, and they are ending it, their dua by Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. But it's not all dua by this term, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Look at the dua for me. وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَسْلِيمًا كَثِيرًا or other way of salah, which we talk about it. Now we understood why A'imma alayhimu salam ordered us and ask us to start by salawat and end it by salawat. Because there is no doubt about salawat that Allah will accept it. And this salawat accepted dua by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first accepted by Allah and also will accept by Allah. So we must put what we want to get it in the middle. This is the first. Secondly, we want to find out, does Allah will give something to Prophet or no? This salawat return to ourselves. Okay, let's go back to philosophy. If Allah gives something more to Prophet, this means Prophet Muhammad doesn't reach to higher perfection. And still, he can get some more perfection. Isn't it? But if you have one glass full of water, can you put more water on it or not? No. We are asking you, I'm asking you, the glass of Prophet, is it full of perfection and bless or not? Exactly. It's full of perfection, full of rahmah, full of bless of God. So, there is no any empty space to Allah give to him anything more. But whatever you will put in this glass returns yourself. It's coming back to you. So, when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, there is no any empty space in the position of Prophet or his family that Allah will give them any blessing. No. This is our gift to Prophet which we turn back to ourselves. Let me bring for you an example. You will go to garden full of flowers. You will take one flower from this garden and give it to owner of the garden. He will thank you, isn't it? Did you give him anything more? No. Because all these flowers belong to him. Whatever you gave to him is from him, is not from outside. Now, if we demand bless from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give it to Prophet. This bless and rahmah is from Prophet, from A'imma. It's not anything outside of Prophet, outside of their position. This is first. Secondly, if we give to him, this is from him to him, from Prophet to himself. It's not from outside. Because he has all bless, he has all rahmah, he has high level of perfection. So there is no any empty place that Allah will give him something more. Did you get me? Do you know Allah created prophets? We will ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, gave Prophet high level of perfection or not? If he didn't give him, this means Allah is miser. Or he doesn't have power to give him high level of perfection in knowledge, in power, in wisdom, in everything. So, he has to give him high level of perfection. Because of that we say, our Prophet is Ashraful Makhluqat. And the first creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But, maybe if I say there is no any rahmah, there is no any bless, there is no anything, perfection, that Allah can give to Prophet, maybe you will ask me, This means Allah doesn't have power. Or I limited Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No. This question like this question. Does Allah can put hold the word, this word in one egg? Can he put it or not? If you say yes, actually this is not correct. If you say no, this means Allah doesn't have power. No, the question is not correct. Like you say, can Allah make something black and white at the same time? No, the question is not correct question. Because one thing cannot be white and black at the same time. Allah cannot put this word in the one in an egg. This doesn't mean Allah doesn't have power. Allah, there is no any empty place that Allah give to Prophet more bless and rahmah. So any salawat we do to Prophet, this is return to ourselves, coming back to ourselves. Because of that, we have اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد هغفر به بها ذنوبنا اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. After that, why هغفر به بها ذنوبنا, you will forgive our sins by our saying اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد تصلح بها عيوبنا, you will recover our mistake. You will forgive us by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Even in majority of our dua or ziyarah, we have with our salawat to Prophet, with our ziyarah to Prophet, Almighty Allah will accept our dua, will accept our namaz, you will accept our action, our sadaqah, whatever we do, Allah will accept it by our salawat. What does mean? This means that this salawat will return to ourselves. It's not going anything to Prophet. But this one gift, like flower, as I mentioned to you, you will pick it up from his garden and give it to him. So, this from themselves. Because whatever blessed in this world is from Prophet. Any perfection is from Prophet. From Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Any bless is coming from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So, we demand Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give this perfection to Prophet that return back to ourselves. This is also Masanoid. There is more explanation about this issue which has been mentioned in philosophy, that the level and position of Prophet never can go higher than what is on it. Do you know, if you want to ask somebody to do something to you, what do you do? First, you will explain to him something which he loves it. So after that, he will look at you, and what you demand, what you ask him, he will give you. Isn't it? So if you go to doctor, you want him to do something to you. You say, oh doctor, your son is very good. I like your son. I love your son. He's my best friend. You will explain, because the doctor likes his son. After that, say, oh doctor, I have a little bit problem with my eyes. What I should do? The doctor, what will do to you? Oh, okay, you are a friend of my son? Yes, he will do whatever you want it. The best friend of friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you want to demand anything from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will say, oh Almighty Allah, I'm friend of Ali, I'm friend of Hussein and Zahra and Muhammad. I love them. I'm one of their followers. I'm one of their friends. So Allah will look at you after that. You'll ask Allah, Almighty Allah, Almighty Allah, give me so and so and so. Never refuse. And in the end also, you will say to doctor, oh doctor, do you need anything to me to do in your son? Don't forget your son. Or say my salam to your son. In the end of dua also you say, Almighty Allah, I'm friend of Muhammad, I'm friend of Hussein and Hassan. Never Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refuse or reject whatsoever you wanted from him. So this salawat will come back to us, return back to us. If you have one glass full of water, whatever you put on it will come back to you. Come back to you. Because there is no any empty place. So you try to put more dua, more bless to this glass. So you will get it. You will not lose it. You try to draw down the attention of your God to yourself by mention the name of loved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. By mentioning the name of friend of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. By mentioning the name of muqarrabin of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the prophet and his family. If we look at the riwayah, we will find out that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam could reach to this level by repeating or reciting salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Look at this riwayah from Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Innama ittakhadha Allah Ibrahim alayhi salam khalilan لِكَثْرَةِ صَلَاتِهِ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. Only Allah تبارك وتعالى choose Ibrahim among all prophets to be his friend because لِكَثْرَةِ صَلَاتِهِ. He was reciting salawat too much Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, Ali Muhammad. Why he is a Khalil al-Rahman and friend of Allah? Because he was mentioned the name of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is the first. Second, we have riwayah an al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. He said, please, you can't get anybody without sin, isn't it? Except A'imma alayhim as-salam and prophets. All of us, we have sin. Imam al-Ridha alayhim as-salam said, if you don't have something to do that Allah forgive you and forgive your sin, you do more salawat to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive you. مَنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَى مَا يُكَفِّرُ بِهِ ذُنُوبَهِ فَلْيُكْفِرْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ. Whoever cannot compense or amend or bring something which cover his sins, he should bring more salawat to Prophet and his family. فَإِنَّهَا تُحَدِّمُ الظُّنُوبَ حَبَّهُ Because salawat ala Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will damage all sins. Philip, you or I have done a lot of sins. Whatever I do it, I don't know. Allah will forgive me or not. Will accept it or not. But I'm sure the salat ala Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is accepted by Allah, no doubt about it. So if I want to damage, to spoil, to demolish my sins, I should recite salawat more. All the time I should say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And also we have riwayah and al-Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. In the day of judgment, they will bring all our a'mal, our salat, namaz, our shom fasting, our hajj, our khums, our zakat, whatever we have done it in this world, they will bring it and they will put it in balance. But our sins in another side of balance. We will find out we have done nothing. Which namaz we are doing it? When I say Allahu Akbar, after 1 minute or 2 minutes, I will find out that I said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whatever I lost it, I will find it in during my salat. All my problems will come to my mind during my salat. I remember one of my friends forgot something and he wanted to find out where he put it. He couldn't find out. He said, now I understood what I should do. He started to do 2 rak'at of salat. During his salat, he remembered it. So after that, he mentioned to me, yes, I put it at that side. Because during our salat, we find out whatever we lost it. This is our salawat. Our fast also the same. Our hajj also, we don't know how we did it. So, because of that, our sins or my sins is more heavy than my action in this world. And that day is day of judgment. Some malaika will come to us and will order us to the fire, to the nar, to the jahim. At that time, we will find out very beautiful body that things will come. Say, oh, now I'm here. You didn't look at me. And they will put this thing in the balance of our action. We'll go down and be very heavy. Who are you? Said, I'm salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Which you were doing it in your life. أثقل ما يوضع في الميزان يوم القيامة الصلاة على محمد وعلى أهل بيته. أثقل. أثقل means heavy or very worthy thing which will put on the balance or scale is in the day of judgment is salawat ala Muhammad wa ahli baytah. Even we have from one of riwayah also, if you write salawat in something, al-malaika من صلى علی فی کتاب لم تزل الملائکه تستغفر له ما دام اسمی فی ذلک الکتاب. If you write salawat ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad in the book or in the paper, al-malaika, the angels, will recite salawat and rahmah and maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah to you, up to this paper or book is there. There are a lot of riwayah and hadith concerning the salawat. So we should not forget salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Maybe you heard about Ayatullah Muhammad al-Bidabadi. He, maybe 2 centuries ago, passed away. At that time, we didn't have any alim like him. He once, one of our ulama from Najaf came to him, and he wanted to get something from him which he can change everything to gold. He took this alim with him to the river, and after that he looked at the river. That alim find out that all water in the river changed to the gold. He said, I can do whatever I want to do, but this is nothing. He asked him, how you could reach to this target, to this level, to this position? He said, when I was young and I was 14 years old, in the midnight, I saw a man came to me and he said, you must recite salawat every day 100 times. After some years, I saw him again and he came to me. He said, now you must recite it every day 200, 300, up to after that, I saw him after some years and he told me, you must recite salawat every day 40,000 times every day. 40,000 times. And now I'm doing. Because of the reciting of salawat, I could reach to this level. I remember one of our ulama and arif, Ayatullah Bahauddini, he was ordering and asking all of his friends for solving their problem to do khatm salawat. He was asking them to recite salawat 14,000 times. But maybe you cannot do yourself. He was asking us to invite some of our friends to our house and to do our salawat. So I think it's a time, is it not? Next time, inshallah, we will talk about the content of salawat. What is the salawat? Now I talk generally about the salawat, so after that we'll find out what is the salawat and why some our ulama, actually it's not our ulama, some our brothers, some is ulama, are not doing complete salawat, but they are saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam. Thank you very much. Very, very much. You know, you touched on it at the very end. About the number of salawat, we say quite often. When we begin to ask, we begin with 3 times the recitation. And for example, when we use the on the yeshiva, it's 5 times.
Yes.
And what is the significance of these numbers? Is there any reason why we repeat it a second or something?
Actually, we don't have in our riwayah, certain riwayah which we mentioned, you should say 3 times, for instance, salawat or five times amman yuji. Concerning this issue, we don't have any riwayah, but this is the people, because we have five ma'asum, panch ten. So we mention amman yuji five times. And because maybe we used to say something three times, we mention salawat also three times. Yes, we have some riwayah concerning Allah. You should mention 10 times. But concerning the salawat, we don't have any certain riwayah which mention you should say this one 2 times or 3 times. This is fair. Secondly, some of our ulama, which they are not ordinary ulama, they are mentioned for some people that you have to say salawat 110 times. That's not something else, which I don't know. But because, for instance, I use, whenever I want to go to any place, I want to go, for instance, to other town or other country, when I sit on the aircraft or car, I will recite salawat 110. Because the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam is Ya Ali, is 110, isn't it? So I will recite salawat 110, but there is no any riwayah that I should mention 110. You can do more or less. This is also. Thirdly, look at the key. It has some if you want to open it, if you add something more at key, will not open. If you break something from it, will not open. But if you want to open the gate of blessed of Allah, we have certain number that will which open the gate of blessed of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like Salatul Shukr. The gate of blessed of Allah will open by two rak'at of Salat. If you make it three rak'ah, will not open. Like a telephone number. For instance, you should make 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you add one more, you cannot connect. If you reduce one, you cannot connect. Some number like this. But concerning the salawat, ordinary salawat, we don't have any certain number for salawat.
I just wanted to ask a question actually. When you said that when you read salawat and you read it before at the end of a du'a and then you know there's that element of doubt and
yes.
Away. So just in terms of, and then you mentioned that we get benefit of it sometimes in the hereafter in terms of how it can help benefiting and tilting the scale. Just so when we ask for certain du'as in this world, sometimes we're told we don't, we won't get it in this life, but we get it in the hereafter. And do you seem to, the way you put forward the argument is that we'll get it in this life and
yes.
In the hereafter. So how sometimes if your du'as aren't, if your prayers aren't answered, and even if you're reading for a while, and there is that element that it's not for you in this life, but maybe in the hereafter, how
yes.
Can we help better appreciate that?
Yes. This is a very good question, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also was asked by this question, the same question. Sometimes we do our dua, we do our best, but we will not get it. This depends to our maslaha, to our benefit. Sometimes we don't know our benefit, isn't it? Actually, my son doesn't like to go to school. I will push him to go to school because he doesn't know his benefit. Sometimes I ask him, please don't sleep. You should read your, or you should study. but he doesn't want. Or sometimes he wants something from me, which I know is not good for him. I will not give to him. If I will not give to him, later also I will not give to him. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at our benefit, our maslaha, which is good for us, which is not good for us. If we ask something which is very good for us, will give to us. But if it's not good for us, he will not reject it. He will put it in our account, in our bank. So in the day of judgment, when you will go to your account, oh, there are a lot in your account. That day we need it. So you wish none of your dua was accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he put all of your dua and of your dua in your account. So look at it, please. Now you wish never you use any of your money. So now when you will go to the Barclays bank and you want to find out how much you have it in bank, oh, there are a lot. You will use it. But unfortunately, you spend a lot of money. So this is also our situation. If Allah will not give to us something, it's not good for us. He knows our maslaha, our benefit. Sometimes some people have come to A'imma alayhimu salam and some our ulama, and they ask him, please, I ask such and such from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he didn't give me. Why? I don't know why. But Imam alayhi salam or some of our ulama explain about it, why Allah rejected. Because if you get such thing, something also will happen to you. So Allah doesn't like this happen to you, so from beginning he didn't give it to you.
You said that the blessing for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full, and the blessings will come back to us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing us in the present tense that He is sending the blessings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to send blessings. Why?
Yes. This is a very good question. Maybe later I will go deep in this issue. I want to support you. We have some riwayah that إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ دَرَجَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا تَنَالُهَا إِلَّا بِالشَّهَادَةِ. There is one position, daraja, and level for Imam al-Hussein in Jannah, will not get this position or this level without Shahada. This means he has some position which doesn't have, which he lacked. And we have some riwayah that Imam Prophet said in the night of Jum'ah, evening time of Thursday, when our Shia recite salawat to us, we will go up. We have such riwayah. Concerning and depending of this, and we have also some riwayah which explain that the position of Prophet and A'imma alayhim salam will not change. Which means they got the final perfection. Because of these two types of riwayah, there is difference between ulama. Some ulama and philosophers, actually, they say the position of Imam cannot change because they got the final perfection. Some of them concerning this riwayah, that they will get some more position, some more level and maqam and daraja, they say no, when we recite salawat to Prophet and we have hadith in the tashahhud. What to say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. After that is mustahab to say, it's mustahab to say wa taqabbal shafa'atahu. After that, warfa' darajata. What is the meaning of warfa' darajata? Raise his position. This means they have some also position which they lack it. They can reach to it. But there is some explanation from philosophers. They said no. Never they can get more position. What is the meaning of this riwayah? Inshallah we'll explain about it. Now let's go back to Ayah Surah Al-Ahzab. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to tell us, please, if I ask you to say salawat to Prophet, don't think I want you to do. I'm Allah, I do. My malaika also will do, so you are not part out of malaika of myself. You must do. For instance, let me bring an example for you. I will ask you, please, respect this man. You say, why? Why I should respect this man? But if I say, Ayatullah al-Sayyid al-Khu'i, for instance, was, or Ayatullah al-Uzma al-Sayyid Sistani, or Imam Khomeini, and so, were respecting this man. All our ulama are respecting him. You also respect him. Do you respect him or not? Allah. And this is good for you. I will ask you please, in the day of Ashura, you should say or recite 100 times this dua. Maybe you will not listen to me. But if I want to emphasize on you and insist on you, I will say, all our maraji, all our ulama, all our philosophers were doing it, also you do it. You will do it, isn't it? Allah, because of importance of salawat, Allah, He doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu ala al-Nabi. No. Because like other, His command, maybe we will not do it. What He said? Said, please, listen to me, O mu'minun, I'm Allah, I recite salawat to Prophet. Although my position is higher than everybody, I'm your creator, I will do salawat to Prophet. My malaika, my angel, also do salawat to Prophet. Now, what do you want to do? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Look at it. He didn't say, Ya ayyuhal nash. He didn't say, do it. No. First, respected you. Because Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is some type of respectation to the people. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. You should do also. Yes. This is, he taught us, Allah Ta'ala taught us how we should recite and why we should recite.
We shall have two more questions. One from the lady from the ladies and comments or questions.
Hello. You mentioned, you clarified many points about the daraja of the Prophet and the increasing of it. Just one other thing which comes to mind is that the creation of Allah is an ongoing process, so there is always the creation. And the Prophet's dua that Rabbi's in the Hilma. So he also wants to increase his in accordingly. So there is always this game.
Yes.
And then when we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and this salwa, this blessing, is to fill up this gap. Maybe you can explain this, if there is anything that. We fulfill this gap, and because of his ongoing creation and ongoing representation, then this continuous salawat. Is there any relation between this sort of thinking?
Yes, thank you. Actually, this is a very good question, and as I mentioned to my brother, we have a lot of hadith, and this is verse of Holy Quran, رَبِّزَدْنِ عَلْمًا. This means Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lacks some ilm, which he demands Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give to him, isn't it? رَبِّ, oh my God, زَدْنِ, give me more knowledge. Does this mean Prophet doesn't have some type of knowledge which he asked Allah Ta'ala to give to him or not? First, let's look at dua coming. Allahumma qfir li al-dhunub al-lati tahbish al-dua. Allahumma qfir li al-dhunub al-lati tunzil al-bala. Allahumma qfir, Allahumma qfir. We have a lot of such dua. Does Imam Ali alayhi salam have sins? Or he wanted to teach us how we should do our dua? Or this word of Holy Quran, maybe Prophet wanted to teach us. If we want to ask Allah something, something ask from Allah, what we should ask? What we should demand? Knowledge. And there is more explanation about this issue, as I mentioned, inshallah later we'll talk about it. But according to philosophers, the knowledge of Prophet is a high level of knowledge. There is no any knowledge in the creation which can get it and Prophet doesn't have it.
Sheikh Mahmoud was telling us that the level of the Prophet and Naeem alayhi wasalam, Allah always just increased their knowledge on a Friday, for example.
Yes.
And even in Jannah, the Prophet will keep rising and rising towards Allah because the journey towards Allah is infinite.
Yes.
So how does this correlate with what philosophers are saying? Because they seem to be different.
Yes. Okay. Let me to explain about this issue more. Please, we have some hadith, as my dear brother Safarad mentioned, that Prophet will get more maqam and daraja in this world, and also in Jannah he will get more maqam and daraja, and his maqam, his daraja, his position, his level will raise time by time, day by day, or year by year. We have a lot of hadith, an authentic hadith. According to this such hadith, our ulama, we have two types of ulama. Some our ulama is muhaddithun. Do you know muhaddith? What is the meaning of muhaddithun? The ulama which are narrating hadith, and they are depending only on the hadith. They are saying that the maqam and daraja and position of Prophet will raise up. But we have philosophers which they are depending on the aql, intellect, and burhan, proof, and hadith also. So they are saying the position of Prophet will not raise up. According to first side of ulama, our Sheikh Dr. Bahman who was saying, yes, this is correct. But according to philosophers, no. The position of Prophet will not raise up. Why? I will explain about it why. We have one principle in philosophy, which Sadr al-Muta'allihin al-Shirazi and Ibn Sina and other philosophers like Allama Tabatabari, Imam Khomeini, and others are saying this principle of what called Imkana Ashraf, which means Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created the world, human being, created everything. So, when He created everything, thus He gave everything to certain level of knowledge. For example, He created human being. Thus He created best, perfected human being or not? We ask, is it creation of this creation, this human being, good or not? Actually, your answer is that it's good. It's good. It's khair. It's good that Allah created best creation. So, if it's good, Allah has done it and created it. If Allah didn't do, this means either Allah couldn't give high level of perfection to this creation, or He refused to give. He was miser. So, Allah has more power and is not limited, and also He is not miser. This means Allah created best, high level perfection of human being. This high level and perfected human being is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I will explain about this principle in philosophy inshallah later. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.